Well, good morning again. I'm glad that you made the choice to come to church this cold, frigid morning. It was brutal out there. And it is a choice to come, and a good one at that. Researchers, every year they study this, they say we make literally thousands and thousands of choices daily. And those that look at it say we make between 70 and 150 conscious decisions and choices every day. And that 87% change our minds after we make the decision. We're just 14 days in the new year, and every one of us desires to have a good year, blessed by God with godly growth, health, godly wisdom throughout the year. And God willing, we're still here at the close of 2024. We will have made between 25,550 and 54,750 conscious decisions by then. Never mind all the miscellaneous stuff. That's a lot of decisions. Life is full of decisions, and decisions present choices, and the choices we make today will impact our tomorrows. Life is full of choices, and it's important. I've shared this quote with you in the past, this one coming up, but it bears repeating. I just really love it. My life is not made up of the dreams that I dream, but of the choices I make. I heard that on the radio, I think, years ago. I believe it was Joseph Stoll. I don't know why that sticks in my mind. But my life is not made up of the dreams that I dream, but the choices I make. We have all these dreams, all the desires, but choices are important. I trust that since you made the choice to come to church today, that you would agree that when God leads us in our choices, our lives go so much smoother, so much better. Joshua said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Jesus warned us that in all of our choices, that the world is full of dangerous choices that eventually lead us to destruction. Matthew 7:13 and following, enter by the narrow gate. Notice that's a choice. What gate will I choose? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is it difficult? Now that we've come to know Christ, those of us that do, we look at how could it be such a hard choice? It's so much better. Why is it difficult? It's difficult because the flesh has a voice, a very loud and commanding voice, a voice and call that every one of us have failed to resist on all too many occasions. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The world is full of wrong choices. And every day we're enticed by wrong choices. Now, to our delight in our decision-making process, 2 Corinthians 5:17 informs us that as believers in Christ, we are a new creation. We are born again spiritually, and that's important as we work through this morning. Romans 8:23 tells us that our flesh is not redeemed yet. We groan inwardly, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Our flesh, though it's not redeemed, still has a very loud voice. There's a coming a day and a time when we will no longer fight against the desires of flesh. It's just not today. And until then, we're faced with the reality that Galatians warns us about. 5:17 of Galatians, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you not do things that you wish. Our inner man, the man that knows God, that is born again, if you will, that he desires to serve God, but our flesh is not redeemed, wants the flesh served, and they fight with each other. Our flesh cries out for all the things of this world. And if we agree that being led by the Holy Spirit in our daily decisions and our choices, being led, lives would go so much better, why does it seem so difficult then? Why do we have to battle this flesh? And again, it's that struggle. The Bible makes it clear it's a battle, it's a struggle between flesh and spirit. We want and desire to be led by the Holy Spirit, but we will struggle. Now, I've spoken about this subject, being led by God, for many years. It's a truth of the Word of God that I'm passionate about. I firmly believe every believer can and should be led by the Spirit of God. I fully believe that. I've seen both sides, those that have been led, myself and others, by God and follow them, and it was correct. And decisions made out of God's will, even at times blaming God for it. So today, I want us to have a little refresher course on God's word about being led by the Holy Spirit. There isn't one of us that doesn't need encouragement with this from time to time, myself included. So I think the first thing we need to establish is that God does, in fact, lead his children. We see a wonderful truth even in Acts 15. In Acts, we find trouble brewing in the early church. The Jewish converts that have come in and accepted Christ began to, some of them, insist on the old laws being reestablished and imposing upon them on the Gentiles that had come to Christ. So the apostles, there was a big argument, and the apostles got together, sought God for his leading, and he resolved it. And we find a short letter within the chapter. It's actually a letter within the letter. Acts is a letter, and there's a letter within a letter. They find a short chapter, that a letter that they wrote in the chapter, that how they resolved the difficulty. Find it here in Acts 15. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Sicilia, and greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. So we early in the chapter, you know, the chapter says the brethren and the leaders, the whole church, sought God for direction. Unity is important. There was a dispute in the church, and rather than just keep fighting amongst themselves, it's like, what does God have to say about this? Because that's what we should follow. And there's two important verses for us to recognize, 25 and 28. It seemed to us, good to us, assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you. And 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Notice the divine leading of God in the direction of the Holy Spirit. The voice of God in their lives. It seemed good to us, but it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. We were in one accord with what the Spirit was saying to us. As you spend time in the New Testament, the careful eye will reveal time and time again the voice and the direction of God, the Holy Spirit. In fact, all of Scripture is written as men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Peter 1. I mean, that's a truth that we accept, understand, and believe. The very God of this universe speaking clearly to men. We rest our faith and our lives on the Word of God that we believe was written by men, but were spoken from God to them. It's the leading of God. It's God's words to us. And if the world is hungry for anything, they're hungry for a word from God. We need to hear from the divine. In an honest study, the whole Word of God will reveal multiple promises of God to guide, direct, and speak to his children. This is a truth as followers of Christ we should consistently walk in and grow in. Growing in our ability to hear from God. There's a truth and a reality that all too often we fall short of. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, how well do you know the voice of God in your life? Even clearer, as a child of God, how well do you know your Father's voice? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great mighty things which you do not know. Now, God spoke this to Jeremiah at the time. It was a special word meant for him. But the good news is God is no respecter of persons. He will speak to you in your life as well. He will show you great and mighty things that you don't know as you seek him. One day, Jesus and his disciples were walking, and he posed a question to them. He said this in Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" A few verses later, he asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Because Jesus will ask this to each and every one of us. In fact, he asks this, I believe, on a daily basis. Because we answer it in our behavior on a daily basis, the way we submit our lives to Christ. Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Don't miss the fact that we see two voices here. That is the one of man. Who do men say that I am? What is the godly, ungodly world? What is the culture saying even to us right now? What do men say? Who do they say that Jesus is? Because you'll always be surrounded by man's opinion. Be careful of that influence. Are you influenced by it? Do you seek the counsel of men, your culture and the men, or God? I mean, Scripture will tell you to seek God's wisdom at all times and the counsel of godly men and women. But Jesus is asking, what is the culture saying? What's society saying? What are you surrounded with, in other words? And even though you're surrounded with it, who do you say that I am? Because the counsel of the world will never lead you into God's truth. In God's will, never. We saw the reference to man's voice. Who do you say that I am? Now again, look at once again at the second voice. Matthew 16, 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, man has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Man's voice versus the voice of the Father in heaven. A direct from the mouth of Christ to Peter, "You've heard this from my Father. He revealed this to you." This is how God was leading Peter in Peter's life. He had made that decision, "You're the Son of God." Jesus compares the revealing of God's truth versus the deceitfulness and error of man. Though men say you're this, you're that, you're the other thing, none of them said you're the Son of God, but I know who you are. And the observation of men as to who Jesus was were way off base. They were all wrong. See, because man can only observe by his senses and his human intellect. That's the only thing man can move by. But you, when you know Christ, if you're a born-again believer, the Bible says you're a spiritual being. You can be and should be led by the Spirit of God. And after this, Matthew reveals yet another voice. Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised by the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, and that's exactly what the word means there, rebuke. It was a strong word. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Jesus directed his reply straight to Satan. It's the same reply that Jesus had to Satan in the temptation in the desert. I'm not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And Greek means that you're not of the same mind. You're not following the mind of God. You're like the men. What's the matter with you? You're like the world. And Jesus rebukes Satan, who leads carnal men. But you, however, when you know Christ, as I said, when you're born again, are to be spiritually minded, to know the mind of God, to have the sense of God. What is God saying in this situation? How do I hear from God? You're to know that. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who could possibly give God directions? Who knows God's mind? How is it even possible to fathom who God is and what he thinks? But we know Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We can be led by these things. And this question, who has known the mind of the Lord, is from Isaiah 40:13. And I like the way the Message puts 1 Corinthians. It says this. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's spirit? Anyone knows what he is doing and has been answered? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's spirit. I love that. So as a child of God, you can not only you can be led by the Holy Spirit, you're called to be led by the Spirit of God. The New Testament, the New Covenant, ushered in a dispensation where God leads his people through the Holy Spirit. That was the change, a change in the New Testament versus the Old Testament. John 14, Jesus prays and says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. That's a clear confirmation of Christ, of the Holy Spirit being within inside of you. It is so important for you to learn to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit within you. You are not called to be led by circumstances. I want to say that again. You're not called to be led by circumstances. I once read about a couple who wanted to buy a home but felt it was a little too expensive for them. So they told God, if you want us to buy it, have the contractor accept only half of what he's asking him for, asking for the down payment, and have the bank approve the loan. If you when that happens, Lord, you're telling us what to do then. Both events happened, and they bought the home. They soon began to get in debt. They weren't sure what to do in the first place. It was too expensive for them. They blamed it on God. And here's the problem. What do they do now, since God directed them to do this in their mind? What happens now? We're not led by circumstances. Don't think that being led by God is only for the very spiritual. These people sought God, they knew God, but they sought him in the wrong way. They looked for circumstances. If you do this, Lord, then I know it's you. Well, I've said for years, most of our prayers are giving God advice anyway, right? So what's that all about? Don't think that being led by God is only for the very spiritual. God desires for every one of his children to know his voice. Consider the beginning of God's original intent. Adam and Eve listened to the voice of the devil in the form of a serpent, the voice of the deceiver, and then we read this, the very beginning. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Notice, God was walking amongst them. He wanted to spend time in fellowship and communion with his children. Scripture says this is a normal thing for them in that time before the fall. And so God comes looking for them, calling out. Genesis 3:9 and following. Then the Lord called God to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. This is God's original intent, to speak, to hear, to communicate, to be with. I was afraid I was naked, and I hid myself. Sin will cause you to avoid God altogether. That's one of the worst things about sin. Sin will put you into hiding, just the opposite of what God intends for you. Adam and Eve knew God's voice. They were very familiar with it. Because God's original intent was to spend time with us, walking through life with us, talking together, and spending time together. From the very beginning, we're to know God's voice, to recognize the difference between the voice of truth and the voice of deceit. From the very beginning, that's what God wants for us. We lost that when man fell. We lost that. But that didn't stop God or his intent for you. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 7:23 says, "You're bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." You were bought at a price. And the word means to buy back in the original language, to redeem, literally to pay a ransom, to rescue from loss. So all that we had lost now is regained when we come to Christ. Christ paid the ultimate price to redeem us from our captivity of sin in order to see us back in the same relationship that the Father originally intended for us. Actually, it's even better. Jesus said, "The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will live within you." And Jesus said, "You should know his voice." John 10:1-4. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And Jesus even explains this even further in John 10. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." Jesus speaks of his relationship with you, his desire for you, abundant life, and he will not run away in time of trouble. He will stay and protect. And if Jesus is with you at all times, in every situation, he is leading, guiding, and protecting. That's his promise. If he promises to be with you, he's not going to ignore you. He's with you, speaking to you. So once again, John 10:14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and are known by them, my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and any other sheep I have which are not this fold," meaning us, the Gentiles, "them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. There'll be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus said his sheep, his followers, know his voice. So if you're born again, here's the good news. Jesus said you will know his voice. He never said that only the very spiritual will know his voice. He never said that. The closer you draw to God, the more you know him, the better you recognize his voice, and you become more spiritually minded. You will be mindful of the things of God. It's an ongoing process. When Jesus was arrested, they brought him before Pilate, and he said very little. What he said meant a lot. Pilate asked if he refused to speak to him, and Jesus answered and speaks of his kingdom. Then Jesus makes a clear distinction between those in the world and those who are in his kingdom. He says this, John 18:37, Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Oh, and by the way, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Are you the truth? When you know Christ, you're of the truth. You're in the world, but not of it. And then you can hear God's voice. You can be led by the Spirit of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Your everyday choices, the decisions you need to make every day, can be, should be, led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples this, and it applies to you and to me. John 14:25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance of all things that I said to you. That's the truth of Christ. How is the Spirit going to teach you something and remind you something if he doesn't speak to you? It's not going to happen. And certainly he teaches you as he reveals God's word to you in study. That's a way. He will speak to you as a study, remind you to pray and listen to your daily choices. He will never contradict God's word and getting directions and leading. Jesus told the disciples they could count on the Holy Spirit. And the very next thing he says when you can count on the Holy Spirit is this. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because God's with you, speaking to you, showing you. In the calming presence, I pray so often for the presence of God. The calming presence and clear direction of God's leading through the Holy Spirit will give you peace in every circumstance and in every decision. God desires for you to be in peace through your relationship with him. My life is not made of the dreams that I dream, but the choices that I make. We can choose to be led by the Spirit of God. We can choose to learn and know God's voice in your life. And I learned a valuable lesson many years ago in the beginning of my walk with God. I had such a desire and a heart to follow God. So I learned to follow him in the everyday decisions. Every day, some of the most simple decisions, I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Because I learned his voice. I've always said the worst time to try to find God's voice is in a crisis. I want to know his voice ahead of time. Last week, I had a young man in here help me do some construction things around here, and we were trying to make a decision about where to put this one piece we were going to put up for some cameras we're going to put around. And I said, well, you know, we can think about it, and I forget how I said it exactly, but I said, you know, I would look at it, I would think about it, I'd pray about it. And he laughed. He thought I was kidding. I said, what are you laughing? He said, you said you'd pray about it. I said, no, I would pray about it. I have my decisions, but I want to know, what do you think? What is the best decision here, Holy Spirit? What I'm doing is learning God's voice in the everyday. Then I know his voice. He'll direct you. And I have seen him. You know, I've used my hands in both the construction and mechanical things all my life. I've seen him give me wisdom and direction that made no sense at all the time, and it just came together. Because I learn his voice in the everyday. And when a crisis comes, I know his voice. And it's a continual process. We're always learning the voice of God in our life. I'm not saying that I hear perfectly every time, because I could fill a couple sheets of the stuff I thought I heard from God that was wrong. But it's a process of learning and growing in it. God promises he will continually speak to you in many ways. He'll speak to you through his word, speak to you at times in worship, speak to you through sermons. He will speak to you through his still, small voice. He desires to guide you and direct you in every step of your life. And if you know Christ, this is something you should be growing in, because this is something that's available to you. All these decisions we have to make in 2024 on a daily basis, I want to be led by the Spirit of God on them. Invite the worship team to come forward. I've said life's about choices. When we choose God, it's always the right choice. Listen to this little clip I read, this little article I found. When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song, tenor Luciano Pavarotti relates. He used me to work very hard to develop my voice. Enrico Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. Upon graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit in two chairs, You'll fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. He writes, it took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. Took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give it to ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. In the same way, we cannot vacillate between the voice of the flesh or the voice of God. We can recognize the voice of the flesh. We can know the voice of God, and we can choose to follow that. Some of you have a very hard time making a decision. Choose one voice. Choose God. Learn his voice in your life. You will never regret it. Let's stand together and worship our God this morning.